Hello, it's Carra here. Welcome to the Red Men Radio, bringing you the latest press conferences, interviews and news straight from Anfield. Don't forget to subscribe wherever you're listening so you don't miss a thing.
Hi, Jürgen. Have you had a diagnosis on Joel Matip's injury yet? If so, what's the prognosis and the diagnosis? And how's Fabinho? And does he have any chance for the weekend?
No. Joel, no. Last night it was after game. I was especially with that pretty emotional. It just was because half times the boys sitting there. Now, meanwhile, there are still glimpse of hope that it's not that serious. So no, we don't have the final result because the scan didn't happen yet, and so we'll be no more in 3-4 hours probably, hopefully. And Fabinho, no chance for the weekend.
When I asked about trying to get cover in at centre half last night, you said, "Of course, we think the whole time, it's about doing the right thing." Do you feel there are still opportunities for you to explore before the deadline, or do you feel they're all dead ends and therefore are resigned to not bringing in a centre-half?
Well, I don't know, but we'll try. So it's not a lot. The only thing, it would be funny when you all think, oh, Liverpool is just fine with the situation and don't care, and then they don't try. We try, but how you know, there's nothing to say until something happens, so we will see. And the situation yesterday, didn't make it easier or whatever, but it's just still we try to do the right things. If that's possible, we will do it. If not, then not.
Obviously, this is another game where league position is affected by the results. Obviously, West Ham a direct threat to your league position at the moment, and they're unbeaten in 6 league games, won their last 4. In the Premier League. What capability then do you see in that West Ham side to really threaten those top 4 positions this season?
Oh, great to see that something like this is possible. Just obviously a clear idea David Moyes always had, as brought in the right players, really exciting. I think everybody's really impressed by about the goal threat of Suchek. It's incredible. So these kind of things. Antonio's back, just settled now. Obviously took a little bit, that's normal as well. And last year they really had to fight hard for staying in the league, but now they are longer together and it works out. And I'm really pleased for David, to be honest, because it's like coming in with such a long and a successful spell at Everton. And then from that moment on, maybe timing was a bit tricky with Manchester United and all with other clubs. It was just like, it's the right moment. You go there and you have to fix it immediately. And now he got the time and he shows again his capability of building successful teams. And so, yeah, we will face them. That's clear. The position at table is obviously one thing, but being third or fourth or whatever in late January is now not exactly what is the most important thing. So there are other moments when it's much more important where you stand. But of course, we didn't start fighting last night. We fought a lot in the other games as well. But last night was a really important game for us with important aspects. And that's the plan, to bring this again on the pitch on Sunday.
Cheers, Vinny. We'll go to Simon from PLP for a couple.
Thank you. Hiya, Jürgen. If he plays, this will be Jordan Henderson's, it will put him fourth in the all-time Premier League appearance makers for Liverpool, which is quite something. And obviously, the majority of those have been in midfield. So as far as you're concerned right now, what are the decisions that you're having to make in terms of maybe what it takes away by moving him from midfield and why Jordan is preferred to some of the albeit younger and less experienced central defenders like Nat Phillips or Reece Williams?
First of all, that's experience. So we don't worry and if we try and about Nate and Reece, for example, but it's about the situation. So let me say, if they play with and it's possible either way with Joel Matip, with Joe Gomez or Virgil van Dijk together. That's absolutely no problem. It's clear where who organized the line and stuff like this. But these kind of things, all must be with young players. It must always be in the 100% right moment. And Hendo, by the way, did you say the number? How many games did he play then?
Well, if he plays, this would be his 286th Premier League appearance for Liverpool, which means only Stevie, Jamie and Sammy Hupia will have played more in the Premier League than him.
A lot more? Probably, yes. Huh?
Jamie, 508, Stevie, 504, Sammy, 318. I've done my prep this time.
So he will catch Sammy. Yeah, well, that's clear then. And Hendo plays there because he can do it and because he can help us there. And you saw around the first goal, this stepping in and chipping the pass and stuff like this. That's what you want to see as well, that he's can defend on the position is clear, that he has to adapt and to learn the position a little bit is clear as well. But it's the personality we need. It's the experience we need, and it's the football we need from the position. So that's the decision. That was about the decision with Hendo. But the whole season is the problem that we had so many different center half pairings. That's more the problem than that it's not the center half pairing. So if another one could have played pretty much all the games, that would have helped obviously massively as well. So then we had to use Fabinho, which is our usual number six. Which costs a bit of stability in midfield. So, and that's all these kind of things. So that doesn't change only the position, that changes the whole static of the game. And we try to be as consistent as possible usually, that you don't, because you don't have 2-3 days and now changing it completely and stuff like this is not really helpful as well. So yeah, that's it. And for yesterday night, we found a solution and hopefully we will do that for Sunday as well.
And you mentioned about the younger lads. I think you said the words needing them in the right moment, and it's probably been more necessity perhaps anything, because with Nat wasn't in the Champions League squad, whether you add him in a few days time, I don't know, might have been leaving, and with Rhys was playing at a much much less level a year ago. So do you speak to them regularly, semi-regularly? How have they been? Because it's been brilliant how far they've come in a relatively short space of time, hasn't it?
We speak constantly, but not the talks probably you think now we have. It's not that I explain them every day the game and stuff like this. So they are talented, really talented, and they will have a proper career. So that's all fine. But it's like trust means as well, let them do in a specific way and not judge everything. Oh, now if you do that, then it would have done better than that. So we are all different and we do things differently. And some of the things we have to do exactly right because we do them together. And some of the things that's individual, and so yes, we talk, but it's not that we give them every day a book about playing center half in the Premier League. It's just we have a lot of faith and trust in the boys. And for example, last night, really tricky one, Nate coming on early challenge, yellow card, and then staying calm and playing a really good game and helped us a lot. It was really, really good, and so yes, happy about that.
Cheers, Simon. Thank you, as always. Ian Kennedy for
102.
We'll see. BBC.
Okay. Hi, Jürgen. Just another statistic for you. Bobby Firmino last night got into the top 20 of all-time Liverpool goal scorers. Now, for somebody who seems to take as much pleasure from creating goals as he does scoring them, that's quite an achievement.
It is, and it shows, obviously, Bobby Firmino scores goals. So, because we had in the same situation here, I was sitting exactly here and you probably were there. Not sure you asked a question, but about why Bobby Firmino is not scoring goals or not often enough. And now he's in the top 20. So that makes already sure that he probably will be remembered in the future as one of the top goal scorers for Liverpool, which is nice and well deserved. So played a good game last night. It was in the right moment, the right position. That's it. That's the most important thing for a striker. Was a great team goal, if you want, like a nice pass from Hendo, great run and pass from Sadio, and an easy finish, but you have to be there. So, yeah, I'm happy for him because I know how important it is for players when they can score goals, and so that will help us as well.
and encouraging for the front three, in that Mo scored two at Old Trafford, and he scored last night, although it was chalked off by VAR. Sadio scored and Bobby scored. So in terms of the responsibility for goals, it's encouraging for those three to be fine in the net.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. And after the game, actually, I mixed it up a little bit. When I spoke, all the three front three scored is right, but it's not right as well. So I forgot for a moment that the most goal, which was a really nice goal, was disallowed. It's good. The right people score the goals. So in the last two games, let me say it like this, it helps really. And Trent set a goal up, scored one himself, so was really helpful as well. So all these things, you know, we speak a lot about and spoke a lot about it, about the scoring record in recent times. We knew it. We tried to change it for last night. We could change it, and now let's try to build on it.
Carl Markham and James Pearce to finish this section, and we'll go to Steve Barger. Check it, Carl.
Hi, Jürgen.
Hi, Carl.
Hi. Sorry to go back to the signing the centre-back subject again, but I'm just wondering that the tone seems to have changed from, you know, we could do something maybe, but we probably won't, to we will try to do something. I'm just wondering if there was there's a moment where that emphasis changed and you knew you had to try and do something.
Sorry. My thoughts didn't change. My words might have, but that's probably rather because of my English. No, same situation as before. We work on this. We don't have always training, and we don't do always press conference. There's time in between. If we don't sleep, we work. And so that's what we did all the time. You will see.
And you always long term think your transfer policy. So is it a question of in the days you've got remaining, you can get a long-term target in, or are you going to have to look at short-term?
Actually, everything is a long-term because apart from you bring a player in for the next 6 months, whatever. So yeah, right, that would be short-term. But usually everything is kind of long-term, but you've got to never... We had one half-a-year contract. I have to speak to Stephen Corker. Is that right?
Yeah.
No. It's about solution. That's the first thing. It's about solution, and that's what we are working on.
James, best finish.
Hi, Jürgen. Just in terms of trying to get someone in before Monday's deadline, is the biggest challenge trying to make it work financially, or is it more the difficulty of finding someone with the right skill set who is available and fits the way you play?
Can you divide these two things? So, I'm not sure there's a 80 million centre back available in the moment. So that the club says, okay, we got 80 million for him, and but we want to sell him now. I don't think that's the case, to be honest. Or pretty much, I know this player with this caliber probably is. I'm not sure. The teams would sell them now. No, it's both. Of course, we need to find the right player. That's clear. And it needs to suit our financial situation. That's clear as well. So, well, it's both.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks for listening. We'll be back soon with more Red Men news. If you want to keep up to date with the Red Men, remember to subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. We're on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google, and more. We'd love it if you could take 30 seconds to leave us a 5-star review. See you next time.